calls.
Broke my glasses this morning, and on the way down here, I discovered I didn't have my hearing aids in, so I can't hear nor see. But you don't have to be able to hear or see to be able to preach.
Amen.
So take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah, the 40th chapter. Isaiah 40. I love this passage. We read, you'll discover that you're probably familiar with it also. Let's stand together as we give reverence and read God's precious and holy word. Isaiah 40, beginning with verse 28. We look at these last few verses of this chapter. It's a magnificent chapter. You should study the whole thing, but we're going to start here on the end because of what I feel like the Lord would speak to us about today. Now, let me give just a little background here. Israel is speaking to God. We'll talk about this just a little bit earlier. In the earlier verses, that God really doesn't know what's going on, or He doesn't care what's going on in their lives. That He's too high and mighty. He's way up there. And so the little things that are taking place, He's not interested in. And so this is how the Lord responds to that type of feeling about Him. In verse 28, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of His understanding. He knows all that is going on." He knows all that is going on in our lives, the very minute details, the very inward thoughts. He knows all there is to know about us, and He loves us still. Isn't that great?
Amen.
He knows our wickedness, and yet He loves us. He knows when we do wrong, and yet He loves us beyond that. His grace is greater than our sin. Verse 29, wonderful. You're going to need this. If you haven't already, you're going to need it. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no mind, He increaseth strength. Now listen closely. Youth, listen to me. Young people, listen. You've got it now. But listen at this. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. And the young men shall utterly fall. But here's the answer. Here's the answer. And here's what we must focus in on in our lives now. When trouble comes, in easy times, no matter what is going on, here's where we must put our focus.
Amen.
But they that wait upon the Lord.
Amen.
Those whose hope is in the Lord.
Amen.
Your hope is in the Lord. Those that wait upon the Lord, here it is, shall renew their strength. And I hope that we get what this is saying. Because literally it is saying an exchange strength.
Yes.
Oswald Chambers called it the exchanged life. An exchange strength. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Lord, we come before your throne today, and Lord, I pray that you'd preach through me today. There's just so much in this that I would fail to get across. Lord, please anoint me. God, speak through me. Let it be you and not me. If it's me, it'll be a zero. It'll be nothing. Lord, let it be you. Lord, open our ears to hear. Open our spiritual eyes. Lord, I pray that the folks that are here that may be focused on something outside, something that's going on in their life, may they bring it together and focus on this passage today. No matter how difficult their life may be, that you have the promise of strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Sometimes folks get the idea that our God is a God of rules and regulations, just waiting for us to step out of line so He can bring judgment down on us. But did you know that the Scripture says that it's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance? It's not God's will for folks to choose hell over heaven. His will is that they would be saved and that their lives would be changed. Our God is God of comfort. Look back at verse 1 of Isaiah 40. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. In 2 Corinthians 1, matter of fact, I want us to read that. I don't want us to skip over this. Romans, 2 Corinthians, the first chapter. This is such a good verse. verses 3 and 4. Here, Paul is praising. He's come to a point of worship here. I am so excited that Matt helps us to come to a place of worship.
Amen.
And I hope that you're experiencing that. I don't know how you can keep from it, but I hope you're experiencing that worship, worshiping the Lord and hearing, grace be to you and peace from God, our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And here he says, blessed be God. Here he's worshiping the Lord, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. Do you know about mercy? I mean, he is a God of mercy. It seems to me, I've been a Christian for a long time. I've been pastoring for almost 44 years. But I'm learning more about mercy every day.
Amen.
And I'm getting more and more acquainted with mercy, and I'm realizing how desperate I am for His mercy.
Amen.
He's the Father of mercies. And look at this. And the God of all comfort. That's a good verse. He's the God of all comfort. Have you ever been comforted?
Amen.
Have you ever been comforted? I mean, a child knows about comfort. I remember, it's been several years ago when Miles was about 4 years old, and I was trying to load a horse, and I'll not make it long, but I told him just make sure that the rope stays through this loop, and I'm going to go behind and push the horse on up in the trailer. Well, he held on to the rope, and it burned his hands. Really burned his hands. I mean, I was grandpa. I drove him on the lawnmower with him asleep, and I cuddled him when he was sick and all kinds of things. But do you know who he wanted? I want my mama, and I want her now. Papa, you're all right for second place somewhere, or third. But right now, I need my mama. I need some comfort. The God of all comfort. He gives us that comfort that no one else, like our mama, he gives us that comfort that no one else can give us. He's the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our... What's that next word? You know what that is? You know what? You know where that word tribulation comes from? Comes from a tool called the tribula. It was that they used to crush the grain with. It literally means pressure. We're living in a world of pressure, aren't we?
Amen.
I mean, have you got any pressure on you? Do this now. Get this done. Perform at this job. Pressure. Study for this test. Make it. You college kids, keep your... What is it? That money that they give you to go to school? If you foul up, you lose it. Is that scholarships? Is that pressure? Tribulation, the God of all tribulation. He is the comfort in the middle of our trouble, in our tribulation, in our pressure, that we may be able... Are you hearing this today? That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. The Holy Spirit is called the Comforter in John 14. He's the one that comes along beside and comforts us. Now back over in Isaiah 40. And look at verse 27. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. You see what he's saying here? It's not that he's saying that his sins is hid from God, and that his wrong actions are hid from God. He says that justice has passed over me. That I'm not getting a fair shake because God's not paying attention. Is my way hid from the Lord? Does he know when my heart is broken? Does he know when I have trouble? He's a burden-bearing God. Look at Matthew 11. You know this verse, or these verses. Verse Matthew 11, look at verse 28. Here's the great invitation. Come unto me. But now there's a qualifier here. All ye that labor and are heavy laden. Anyone here like that? Or is the road all smooth, no curves, no bumps? Everything's fine. Kids are all doing great. It's not usually that way. I don't know how it is at your house, but most of the time it's from catastrophe to catastrophe.
Amen.
And sometimes it's that I have caused. Travis, I've not put the coffee under the coffee maker a few times. I can pull some of the craziest stunts. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's what we're looking for. That's where it's at. I will give you rest. Now, if you're not experiencing rest, I want to share something with you that may make you mad. I don't know if 25 years if I've ever made you mad or not. But I may say something that'll make you mad. If you're not experiencing rest, and if I'm not experiencing rest, if I'm all teed up, bent out of shape, I must not be doing what this verse says.
Amen. Right.
Because it says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Because my yoke is rough and hard. What does that say?
Easy.
Go easy. My yoke is easy, and my burden is too heavy a load to carry. My burden is light.
Amen.
What a verse. What a passage. Many times in our lives, God is hindered from helping us because of our self-sufficiency. In Matthew 5 and verse 3, he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You know what that means? He's talking about people that actually realize where they're at. That they can't do it on their own.
Amen.
They have to depend on God. Are you self-sufficient? I mean, you're going to pull yourself up? I mean, that old saying, these men that pull themselves up by their own bootstraps, that may sound good, but it's not scriptural.
Amen.
It's when God picks us up by our bootstraps. It doesn't mean that men do not, that you shouldn't do. We're going to talk about that just a little bit later here in this message. Because when you wait on the Lord, it's an active waiting. You're to be doing His will, you'd be seeking His will while you wait. But we're to put boy, these glasses are really, it's hard to keep from getting dizzy. It's when we're putting our trust and our faith in Him. Not our own sufficiency. Self-sufficiency closes the door to God's special mercy. I can do it. I can do it on my own. Well, maybe you can make a mess of it the way that I do. Or maybe we could say, Lord, I can't do it. I can't handle it. This is too heavy for me. I just can't do it. Help me. Do you remember what happened when Peter stepped out in the water and began to walk before the Lord and the waves and the wind took advantage of him. He saw that and stood of the Lord, and the Bible says that he began to sink. Have you been there? He began to sink. And he said, Lord, save me. And the Lord said, you got out there on your own. Get back on your own. Is that what he said?
No.
Bible says that he reached out and took his hand and lifted him up. You remember the story? You know what happened? And they walked together back to the boat. You imagine that? Can you imagine feeling the water take your way? Walking on water with the Lord. I really believe that that's his plan for us.
Yes.
I really believe that that is his plan for us. Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me.
Amen.
His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me.
Yeah.
Is that true in your life?
Yeah.
Is that true in your life? I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. I'm free.
Yes.
For his eyes on the sparrow, and I know it is true. Let not your heart be troubled. His tender word I hear, and resting on his goodness, I lose my doubts and fears. Though my path, though by the path he leadeth, but not one step, I may see his eyes on the spur, and I know he watches me. His eyes on the spur, and I know he watches me. Whenever I am tempted, whenever clouds arise, when songs give place to singing, when hope within me dies, I draw the closer to him. From care he sets me free. His eyes on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. This is the exchange line. I exchange my insufficiency for his sufficiency. I exchange my weakness for his strength. I exchange my inability for his ability. When I am faint, Peter, the Bible says that he gives power. When I have no mind, he increases strength. Verse 29. Verse 30 says, even the youth life can be unbearable, even for the young.
That's right.
Did you know that as far as the suicide rate is concerned, the young are the ones that are leading him?
That's right.
Life can seem impossible. Troubles and difficulties that come our way. Things that perhaps you and I can't understand why they would have any problem at all, and yet life is such a burden for them. Verse 31. I'm glad you put this but in here. And here's where the choice is. Here's where you and I have can make a choice. But they that wait upon the Lord. I remember when the kids were young, in the back seat fighting with one another. Do you remember that? I was just back there a long time. Those were good days. And it seems that the farther you go in life, and instead of things getting easier, perhaps they get harder. As the kids get older and they have their own kids, and there's lots of joy in it. And not anything like cuddling a grandbaby. Oh, I love it when they put their arms around my neck. I love it. There may come a time that they'll break your heart. There'll come a time that you won't any longer be able to be in control. They'll make their own decisions and go their own ways. But I've got a word of encouragement for you. And it's a good word. Oh, I've lavished in these words this week. Those that wait upon the Lord. Those that wait upon the Lord, brothers and sisters. This is not an irresponsible passing of time. It requires that one gets in step with God's plan and His purpose. Now look at His promise. He shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Have you been in a storm lately? I've been in a few of those. I've been in that situation where you've been in, where you dreaded to hear the telephone ring. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. When a storm comes, the eagle catches the updraft and it flies high in the storm. I really believe that the Lord used this analogy on purpose.
Amen.
I think the Lord loved the eagle. I like the eagle, don't you?
Amen.
They ride the wind currents. And when the winds and the storms come, they go higher. They can see farther. Did you know that an eagle can see another eagle sometimes at 50 miles away? Did you know that normally an eagle flies somewhere between 35 miles per hour and 50 miles an hour when he just cruises? But in the storm and in the updrafts, he can fly to speeds upwardly over 100 miles an hour. So it flies faster and it flies higher. God did not mean for the storms in our life to destroy us, or to bring us down, or to cause us to give up. Are you hearing me, church?
Amen.
I'll be down there among you, but I'm afraid to step off the steps.
Amen.
It means for us to fly higher and to see farther in the midst of the storm. Can you imagine running and not being weary? Now, how can that be possible? I can't run from here to the end of the building. Amen. That's the virus after me. Mama. Can you imagine running and not being weary? You know what that means? That means an exchange strength.
Yes. Amen.
That means that when the storms come and the difficulties come and you think, I could be tore up. I shouldn't be handling this the way that I am. I shouldn't be beside myself. I shouldn't be able to do it. But yet you're discovering that you're able to, even in the midst of the storm, that you're able to handle it. That's because you're able to run and not be weary. You're able to continue walking when you want to give up, when you want to faint. You just keep on. Hebrews, the 4th chapter. And look at verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly. Now, Walker, give us permission to do that. Because we have a high priest which cannot, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our emotions. But was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Now here's what we need. That we may obtain mercy. Don't you like it? I love it. Mercy. Man. Monica, I was always trying to get mercy from the school teachers. Find mercy. Obtain mercy. But here it is. And find grace to help. Time to need. Grace to help. In time of need. Unmerited favor to help. In time of need. That's our old definition of mercy, isn't it? It's a good one. It's unmerited favor. It's a good one. But I tell you, mercy means more than that. Grace means more than that. Grace has power in it. Grace lifts that you and I cannot lift. You know, I couldn't. I may be able to lift one end of that prayer bench, but I couldn't just pick it up and carry it out the door. I might drag it around, but I couldn't pick it up and carry it out the door. But this is what grace does. I can pick up this end, and grace picks up the other end.
Amen.
Actually, grace picks up the heavy end.
Amen.
Always picks up the heavy end. This does not mean for us to sit passively by and just wait for God to do something. We're to be active. As we wait, we're to be going about our business. We're to occupy until He comes. We're to be seeking His will and His purpose for our life as we wait on Him. We're not to go ahead of Him, but we're to wait until God says, okay, here's the direction. This is what's going to happen. And we mount up with wings as eagles. We run. We're able to run, we're walking, we're able to walk. Let's stand together. Perhaps you're here today and you've never invited Jesus into your heart as Savior. This would be a great day for you to do that. Perhaps you're here today and God's dealt with your heart about becoming a part of this fellowship. It'd be a good day for you to make that decision for the Lord. Recommit your heart, your life to Him. Whatever your need is today, as we sing, we give you that opportunity to come.